Sa Bharavraja Gacharya Stata Satasi Simatis Divine Grace Sila Ave Charanaravinda Sila Bhakti Vedant Swami Maharaja O Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anand Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sisi Guru and Shigananga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Mam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Padaya Gitali. Are you Gita? Rohini Sutta Prabhu. Yes. Welcome. Welcome. I saw you yesterday, but I did not immediately connect you. But now, thank you for coming. Bahar, the same. Yes. So, Hare Krishna. We will continue today with our wake-up lectures. At least these are wake-up lectures for me. Because they always happen at the same time in the morning. want to today talk a little bit about examples in our Shastras, examples of great devotees who have seen sufferings as a way, not as an impediment in their devotional service. We will hear today about Maharaj Indradyumna,
yes,
who was cursed by Agastya Muni. It's a very wonderful purport and very nice story, which I will tell you in a moment. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Shri Shuka Uvacha.
Shri Shuka Uvacha.
Evam,
evam
shaptva
gato
gastyo. Evam shaptva gato gastyo.
Evam shaptva
gato gastyo. Bhagavan naripa sanugaha. Bhagavan naripa sanugaha. Indradyumno pi
rajashir.
Indradyumno pi rajashir.
Indradyumno pi rajashir.
Dishtam
tat
upadarayan. Dishtam
tat upadarayan.
Shri Shuka Uvacha.
Shri Shuka Uvacha.
No, no, you are pandits. You can know by hearing. Evam shaptva gato gastyo.
Evam shaptva gato gastyo.
Bhagavan ripasanuga.
Bhagavan ripasanuga.
Indradyum nopi rajashir.
Indradyum nopi rajashir.
Dishtam tat upadharayan.
Dishtam tat upadharayan.
Since we have no text, we will immediately no text written down, we will immediately go to the word by word translation. Please repeat. Shishuka Uvacha.
Shishuka Uvacha.
Shishukadev Goswami said.
Shishukadev Goswami said.
Evam.
Evam.
Thus.
Thus.
Shaptva.
Shaptva.
After cursing. Gataha.
Gataha.
Left that place.
Left that place.
Agastyaha.
Agastyaha.
Agastya Muni.
Bhagavan.
So powerful.
So powerful.
Nripa.
Nripa.
O king.
Sanugaha.
Sanugaha.
With his associates.
Indradyumna.
Indradyumna.
King Indradyumna.
Api.
Also.
Rajashihi.
Although he was a Raja Rishi.
Although he was a Raja Rishi.
Dishtam.
Dishtam.
Because of his past deeds.
Tat.
That curse.
That
curse. Upadarayan.
Upadarayan.
Considering. We will read text 11 and text 12. Shukadev Goswami continued. Actually, I should give you a little bit the context in which this verse appears, so that you are able to better relish it. The great king in the Indradyumna had gone into the mountains to meditate in solitude. He very quickly attained a very high level of dharan or concentration, and was often and for prolonged hours seen sitting out before his hut, absorbed in very deep states of meditation, where he would actually be able to perceive transcendental existence. Now, once it so happened that the great Rishi Agastya Muni, accompanied by his many, many disciples, met the king, Agastya recognized him as that powerful Raja Rishi who was ruling the country in which he lived, and expected him to pay the customary reverence, or at least acknowledgement, which a king is due to a great saint. But Indrajumna Maharaj didn't notice him. Agastya misinterpreted that the king ignored him, and out of arrogance, just, how do we say in English, looked over him, you know, just didn't pay attention, and became enraged. He quickly had his Brahmin string around his thumb and pronounced a powerful curse, a curse which would hurl Indrajumna Maharaj and out of the body of a king and into the body of a dumb elephant. So here, this verse, what happened then to Indrajumna Maharaj. Shukadev Goswami continued, "My dear king, after Agastya Muni had thus cursed King Indrajumna, the Muni left that place along with his disciples. Since the king was a devotee, he accepted Agastya Muni's curse as welcome, because it was the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, although in his next life he got the body of an elephant, because of devotional service, he remembered how to worship and offer prayers to the Lord." Purport. This is the unique position of a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although the king was cursed, he welcomed the curse, because a devotee is always aware that nothing can happen without the desire of the Supreme Lord. Although the king was not at fault, Agastya Muni cursed him, and when this happened, the king considered it to be due to his past misdeeds. Tatenukampam susamikshamana. This is a practical example of how a devotee thinks. He regards any reverses in life as blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, instead of being agitated by such reverses, he continues his activities of devotional service, and Krishna takes care of him and enables him. I'm sorry, this is not at all boring, but very interesting. It's still a yawn. Very unbefitting. Thus again, start the sentence. Therefore, instead of being agitated by such reverses, he continues his activities of devotional service, and Krishna takes care of him and enables him to be promoted to the spiritual world, back to Godhead. If a devotee has to suffer the reactions of his past misdeeds, the Supreme Lord arranges for him to be given only a token of these reactions, and very soon he is freed from all the reactions of material contamination. Mm-hmm. notice this? This is what we discussed in the first lecture, that if a devotee has to suffer the reactions of his past misdeeds, the Supreme Lord arranges for him to be given only a token of these reactions, a token of reduced quantity, and very soon he is freed from all the reactions of material contamination. One should therefore adhere to devotional service, and the Lord himself will very soon see to one's promotion to the spiritual world. A devotee should not be disturbed by unfortunate circumstances, but must continue his regular program, depending on the Lord for everything. The word upadarayan, considering, is very significant in this verse. This word indicates that a devotee knows what is what. He understands what is happening in material, conditional life. Hare Krishna. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Kauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Haskatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya O Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Wonderful shloka, isn't it? That you also feel how it is very, it is so nice, and the purport also so illuminating. My dear king, after Agastya Muni had thus cursed King Indradyumna, the Muni left that place along with his disciples. Since the king was a devotee, he accepted Agastya Muni's curse as welcome, because it was the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, although in his next life he got the body of an elephant, because of devotional service, he remembered how to worship and offer prayers to the Lord. Kyoji, brother, sleep has just come from behind and overwhelmed you, and you didn't even notice him. He might come again in your case. I would recommend you to arm yourself with yoga. And so maybe sometimes it helps to just go before the door, do a few breathing, and then stretch, I mean outside, and then return. You will like this lecture very much, so therefore I will, in your best of interest, make you fit. It's actually a fact, when you get up very early, it's not very early, but if you get up Mangal Arati and you are already a little exhausted, then by the time the lecture comes, you have already 4 hours of active devotional life behind you. So here we hear of one devotee who acted very maturely when he found out first by a great rishi. Indradyumna Maharaj did not think all the rishi is a little stupid for having cursed me. He he understood, I'm getting what I have ordered. By my own activities, I am supposed to suffer. So it is the rishi who is chosen by the Lord to be an instrument of serving out to me this type of suffering. There's nothing I can do except for patiently tolerating whatever comes and hope for the mercy of the Lord. Now we know that this type of mentality and even mood is very suitable to attract the special mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The king who was so, so extremely devoted to Krishna and so dependent on Krishna, obtained the result of the curse. That is, he actually changed body and became an elephant. However, he did not lose his devotional service. Actually, he continued with his devotional service in a glorious way. We all know that he became Gajendra the elephant, and when he came into a dangerous situation where a crocodile threatened to kill it, he continued with his practice of Vandanam, offering obeisances, offering prayers to the Lord, and actually spoke prayers to Lord Krishna. He had not forgotten. Another example of how a devotee is protected by Lord Krishna, even though the devotee undergoes some reactions, is Bali Maharaj. This reactionary life, where a devotee obtains tokens of his reactions, was also experienced by Bali Maharaj, who had, severe setbacks in his devotional service and life. Shukadev Goswami summarizes Bali Maharaj's life. I think you all are familiar. He was once the universal emperor. He had the throne of Indra and ruled from there the different parts of the universe. Vaman Dev, an incarnation of Lord Krishna, however, came to him and by a deliberate, let us say, maneuver, he took all the riches, all the lands from Bali Maharaj, and then chastised him by pushing him down to the lower planets. So Shukadev Goswami is just totally amazed how Bali Maharaj understood everything and passed the tests of the Lord. Let me read this verse to you and encourage all of you to pay rapt attention. It might change your life, understanding this verse. So first of all, let us go. May I ask some of you, have you lost your first spiritual master? Do we have such devotees amongst us? Yes. Even this is not a tragedy which never happened. Bali Maharaj also lost his guru. Although bereft of his riches, fallen from his original position, defeated and arrested by his enemies, this speaks about Bali Maharaj, although he was rebuked and deserted by his relatives and friends, although suffering the pain of being bound, and although rebuked and cursed by his spiritual master, Bali Maharaj, being fixed in his vow, did not give up his truthfulness. Prabhupada comments this very, very intense shloka by saying, Bali Maharaj passed the severe test put before him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is further proof of the Lord's mercy toward his devotee. The Supreme Personality of Godhead sometimes puts a devotee to severe tests that are almost unbearable. One could hardly even live under the conditions forced upon Bali Maharaj. But that Bali Maharaj endured all these severe tests and austerities is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The Lord certainly appreciates the devotee's forbearance, and it is recorded for the future glorification of the devotee. This was not an ordinary test. As described in this verse, hardly anyone could survive such a test. But for the future glorification of Bali Maharaj, one of the Mahajans, the Supreme Personality of Godhead not only tested him, but also gave him the strength to tolerate such adversity. The Lord is so kind to his devotee that when severely testing him, the Lord gives him the necessary strength to be tolerant and continue to remain a glorious devotee. Hare Krishna. Wonderful. So, when a devotee goes into this modus of operandi, that is, when some misery comes his way, that he does not complain to the world and to God even, but continues to hope for the mercy of the Lord. The Lord is so moved by this that he says, this devotee has passed the test. He has gone through this very important test, and as a result, I will give him my extra special mercy. In other words, the Lord becomes very moved. This is a new element to the by seeing the forbearance of the devotee. Another example is Chitraketu. Chitraketu, the great devotee, was going once on an excursion through the universe and saw a scene which he considered inappropriate. He saw Lord Shiva sitting with Parvati on his lap while being surrounded by a host of exalted saints. Chitraketu saw this is very unusual. Shiva gives a lecture and has his wife on his lap. Imagine maybe a Grihastha, who is all our respect, giving a lecture with his wife on his lap. We would certainly have a second thought. Is this the right way to give the lecture, or is it something which should be slightly changed? So Chitraketu, I think we can understand him, was astonished. And laughed a little like this in astonishment. Shiva could understand, yes, it's certainly not the most conventional way of delivering lectures, and did not mind, so it's natural that he reacts like this. But Parvati, the highly temperamental Parvati, became enraged and actually cursed Chitraketu to become a demon. Imagine, a demon. And Chitraketu accepted with folded hands. He didn't say, Parvati, this is a really... First you sit in an inappropriate way and then you react totally outblown. No. Chitraketu understood it was Krishna who prompted Parvati to curse him, and he actually was glad because by this he understood the Lord made a quick arrangement to take him back home, back to Godhead. So there are many examples which I have noted down in my notes, but knowing well that our time is not so long today because we expect guests for the Sunday feast, I will not go through all the details. I would like to ask you, however, do you have in mind maybe a devotee who got a reverse and accepted this as Krishna's mercy? Is there a devotee which comes to your mind? From Shastra? Very good. Maharaj Parikshit, yes. Any other great devotee? Yes, Vrindavan Das Thakur. Draupadi, yes. Dhruva Maharaj, when his stepmother was unkind towards him.
Lord Shiva.
A very nice example, but we will deal with him a little later. Yes, some of your examples are very relevant. Parikshit Maharaj is comes very much to mind. And Parikshit Maharaj also gives us an example of something which I feel is very important to understand. Sometimes devotees who get some suffering say, "Oh, this is highly unfair. I'm a very good devotee. This shouldn't happen to me. I should get the deluxe special Dharma treatment. Why does this Adharma fall upon me?" And so on. Parikshit Maharaj was very, very glorious, yet still he was cursed. He was the grandson of Krishna's friend Arjuna. His grandmother was Lady Subhadra. Uttara, his mother, was a great devotee who had a anuraga, a high state of prema in relationship to Krishna. Parikshit is so glorious that he was protected from the Brahmastra of Ashvatam while he was still lying within the womb of his mother. During this time, the embryonic time, Lord Krishna had appeared to him in his forearm form and personally protected him by protective shield with his club, which he whirled very swiftly. He was so dear that Lord Krishna had appeared before him. You know, Parikshit never forgot the darshan. It was not, a dreamlike darshan. He was fully conscious, and for the rest of his life, he was constantly searching for that personality who protected him in the womb. You know, Parikshit, name, if we translate it into the sweet English language, means the inquirer. He was always asking, "Where is my Lord? Are you most, maybe you are hiding yourself? Are you my Lord?" He was inquiring, "Where is my Lord?" Krishna gave Parikshit Maharaj many sadhu qualities. When you read in the first quality, in the first canto, you will find out that he is as immovable as the Himalayan mountains. And he invested so much power in Parikshit Maharaj that he could withstand and chase away the evil Kali. I mean, no one of us has this power to just say to Kali, go. I mean, Kali will just go laugh, 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 laugh when we say like this. Parikshit's command to Kali was strong enough to send the whole personification of this age in which we live fleeing away. But by Krishna's arrangement, Kali asked him, where can I go? I mean, I can't just run away totally. I can't just not exist. Parikshit Maharaj said, go where there is the breakage of the four principles of dharmic life. But you have no prostitution in your kingdom. There is no meat eating, no gambling. And people know how to associate dharmically and don't commit illicit sex. Give me another place, O king. Then go where gold is. Go fast now, said Parikshit. So Kali went where gold is, and he was clever. He also went into the crown. I have my language prompter with me. Crown, I think we say. He went into the crown of the king and waited for a moment to counterattack. The moment came. Parikshit Maharaj was in the forest on an expedition and afterwards felt extremely tired. He came to the house of Shamika Rishi and found the saint wrapped in meditation. Also at this moment Kali could strike. He was tired, he was hungry, and he for a moment was clouded in his memory. He also thought, well, this king is so arrogant. He doesn't greet me. I will show him. And he took his bow and in defiance picked up a snake with the end of the bow and put it as a garland of humiliation around the neck of Shamik Rishi. Then he left. Now already on his way to the palace, he thought, what have I done? This doesn't look like me. How could I do this? And he went back to the palace. And he thought about it. He thought about it very deeply. And because he was very intelligent, he understood it was not Kali who had made him do this. It was Krishna who had prompted Kali to just slip from the crown into his brainski. Brainski is, how do we say, brain. And just bewilder him momentarily. And as a result, he did not counteract it. So he just waited. He knew something is going to come out of this. There is an arrangement of the Lord. And he didn't have to wait long. Soon a messenger came to his palace who identified himself as a messenger of Shamik Rishi. And he said, with tears in his eyes, Your Majesty, I've come to tell you that you are cursed by the son of the Rishi. He found his father with a snake and immediately cursed you to die within a period of 7 days. Please prepare. Now, there are things to do when you are cursed. Do you know what to do when you are cursed? You can make a yajna when you are cursed, which will ward off the curse. You should also, in this yajna, repent if you have done something terrible, and the curse are ward off. What I do when I am cursed, when I was young, I chanted the Narayan Kavacha shield. You know, as a preacher in Germany who was allowed to spread Krishna consciousness, there were several enemies, you know, who want to stop you, and so on. And, also in Afghanistan, there were once seven bandits who were hired to kill me, and I knew about it. I received warning, and I immediately went to the Narayan Kavacha shield. It really works. They can't come through this shield. They're very powerful. Now when I'm older and more try to surrender more to Srila Prabhupada, I just pray to Krishna that he gives me whatever and helps me to go through it. Parikshit Maharaj, he could have done it. He knew how to make these yajnas and so on, where the curse would just go ping against the protective shield and return to wherever it was originating from. But Parikshit understood in the line of the subjects which we discuss here, that everything moves about in Krishna's way, and understood that this is a merciful arrangement for me. Otherwise, he thought to himself, why would the son of a pure saint have cursed me? This is unnatural. This doesn't happen. They are not like this, the sons of these saints. He understood also, I wouldn't have done the offense in the first place if it was not Krishna who would have done this. And so on. So he became very, very fired up. He understood this is Krishna, and this is not just an ordinary curse. And he said something which I want to read to you. I will quote to you now a verse from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which shows you Parikshit Maharaj's. Oh, Raj, you are late. Why? Which shows you the reaction of Parikshit Maharaj, which was highly enlivened. And I think if you understand this verse, you will, next time when something happens to you, also be able to act in this way. He said, oh, I took this curse as most welcome. By this device, Sri Vasudev was dragging me out of the blind well of my home and directed me to decide to fast till death at the banks of the celestial river Ganga. He understood Krishna has made this arrangement in his kindness. Do you know why he said, by this device, Sri Vasudev has pulled me out? Why Vasudev? He could have said, Gopal has pulled me out. Or he could have said, Mukunda. Mukunda is a very good word, a name for Krishna in such a circumstance. He who delivers from material life. Why did he say, Sri Vasudev has pulled me out?
For the age of Kali, and also the age of Kali, that was the beginning of the degradation of the Brahmins. That was the first serious deviation of the
Kali. Your philosophical thought is very Very nice, actually. Sanatana Goswami explains that Vasudev is the supreme director of consciousness. He is sitting in our heart and directs our consciousness. So he had directed the consciousness of the boy, Sringi, to curse him, actually, and in this way terminate his earthly existence. So Parikshit Maharaj understood it and didn't pray to Lord Krishna for protection. Krishna would certainly have protected him. I want to draw this morning's discussion now to an end by summarizing what we have learned so far from these great devotees whose examples, now glorious examples, we are listening to this morning. Indya Dumna Maharaj, who became an elephant, accepted this as his own reactions which came his way, and he could see behind it some arrangement of the Lord. We have heard about Chitraketu, who also saw that the Lord wanted him to come back. And we have heard today about Parikshit Maharaj, who wanted him to come back to him, and who also arranged, this is what our Prabhuji has informed us, who also arranged for the Bhagavatam to be spoken. You all know, during the 7 days when he fasted till death, Shukadev Goswami came and picked him as the proper receiver of the Bhagavatam, because the book, Bhagavatam, is really spoken to overcome death, the death in this material existence, and make our passage to the eternal existence. Yes, now let me draw these examples a little bit to us. It seems very much when we are in Krishna consciousness that Krishna does something to in our lives to really move us towards Krishna, to himself. And I really feel that this is a point which is not enough understood. I often talk with devotees, also devotees who have left our movement, and when I talk to them, I already know, the first time you talk to them, they will just pour their dissatisfaction with the movement on you. They have this need, and I think it's very important for a person who wishes to preach with compassion to give them a patient ear. This went wrong, and that went wrong. And look, these impossible people in the Hare Krishna movement, the leadership, the fellowship, the and you know, I often go, yes, 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 because you have to hear emphatically so that they feel relieved from the pain which is there in their heart. But I have always, since giving this series of lectures, understood that whatever happens, also in the Hare Krishna movement, happens under the control of Krishna. Even the Hare Krishna movement is no exception to this rule. Every grass which is there outside our movement moves according to the will of Krishna. Don't you think that Krishna's control is also in our movement? It is there. And we have to learn from the we have to see the writings of the Lord on the wall. That means we have to see what why this happens to us. I agree, we have to, I mean, this, I don't think this is, we have to discuss about it. We have to correct our innumerable mistakes, and there is a very, many years ago, I think 3 years ago, a time of awakening came into our movement where we really began to, we had to look what we do wrong and how to correct it, and this process is certainly going on. Sometimes more successful, sometimes less successful, but there is a willingness, at least by a majority of devotees, to correct the things which went wrong, which, by the way, go wrong in all religious institutions. It is, I mean, if you look at the Christianity, they also have to sweep a lot in their own house. There are also constant things which go wrong. Anyways, so yes, let us not forget to deal with this problems and correct them. But for now, where we are listening to our to these subjects, we have to also acknowledge that these things are meant to give us our reactions. The pain which comes our way would have come anyways our way in the material, because we still have some reactions to tolerate and so on. So this is Krishna's way to take care of a devotee. There's a very nice Christian philosopher which I wanted to quote today to you. I hope you can tolerate a moment to hear from another tradition. It is Søren Kierkegaard. You know Søren? You actually say, I will, the American tongue cannot say it, so I have my moment of joy and delight because I can say something which you cannot say. All the time I'm saying things wrong in the English language, but here comes my moment of triumph. You say it, Søren Kierkegaard. To be pronounced here. It's a Danish name, and he says, God work, he speaks about how we are shaped or put into shape by Krishna. Remember the example of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that the world is like an anvil, suffering like a hammer, and we like the piece of gold who is banked into shape. Huh? God works, he says something, I have not written it down. We are like the picture and God is like the painter. He works again and again at his picture, scrapes it, corrects it. Sometimes we wish it may be done less dramatic, faster, not so much detail. But then we ask not for more, but for less love. How nicely he has put it, isn't it? You're like a painting. I don't know if you know oil paintings. That you, before the painter is really satisfied with his painting, he goes like scrape, scrape, and you know takes a whole a load of paint from his painting. Oh, the painting screams, why do you have to scrape me again? Psst, you're not yet perfect. Ah, this is also not God. Oh, don't do this, screams the painting. Then he does the detail again. So this is what Krishna also does. And he has done this several times, you know. At Sankirtan, we meet a person who is less than friendly to us. You know, we have our physical ordeals we go to, we may suffer some back pain or some extraordinary amount of tiredness, or it may happen that a rumor is spread around us that we are less than ideal. Such a rumor could be spread around us, and it very much moves into our heart. You know, in the Hare Krishna movement, it happens. Our Guruji leaves us, you know, this also is a great pain in the heart, and we are feeling almost incapable to go on. You know, these are all so many things there, and we should see it as tests, that we, in these moments of trials, turn to Lord Krishna, patiently suffering what we are meant to suffer, and expect His mercy. We should pray, actually, "My dear Lord, I am now suffering in this way. Please give me the strength to go through this." You know, this is very devotional. It will help us very much to become bona fide devotees, tried, tested, and proved devotees. Yes. Now I would like to end this lecture with one great devotee who teaches us a lesson which I feel is extremely appropriate for a person in the Hare Krishna movement. This great devotee, whose name I would like to reveal now, Vidura, had a very intelligent reaction to suffering which came his way. The suffering was excruciating, especially for Kshatriya. You know, Vidura was the brother of Dhritarashtra and the uncle of Duryodhana and his brothers. So once, I forgot exactly the situation, there was an injustice which was planned against the Pandavas at the court of the Kauravas. And Vidura, like usual, spoke out against this. "No, this is unfair, it should not be done." When Duryodhana heard how Vidura, you know, was fairly protecting the Pandavas, he got enraged. He hissed like a snake which was trampled. And he said, he attacked Vidura in public, and said, "You are not really on our side. You are not really our uncle. You are always taking sides with the Pandavas. This is too much." And he began to assault him verbally. Vidura heard this. Vidura could have defended himself, but he understood two things. Listen please, the realization. He understood this is Lord Krishna's arrangement, and he also understood it's the arrangement of the material energy. Duryodhana, in other words, was clearly a Maya, to say like this. He was clearly under the influence of the material energy. So what he did is he took his bow, he put it down on the palace gate, and he went without a further word on pilgrimage. This is a wonderful lesson for us. When something comes our way and someone is maybe not is behaving towards us in ways which are really not up to standard, we can also understand it's not only Krishna's arrangement, it's the material energy working here. I think in our movement we have also seen sometimes the material energy which took some control, where devotees did the wrong things, like in the schools in relation to children. This was certainly some Maya which was working, a great deal of Maya, and other things as well. But it's good for a devotee to try to see that even behind the material energy, Lord Krishna, the mover of this whole material and spiritual energy, is there. So we can be very enlightened by this. When a devotee sees this, that the material energy is working, he deals on different levels. When there's something which is done by the material energy and you know it, you should correct it immediately on one level. On another level, you can also understand Krishna's hand is there and you can learn your lesson which you have to learn in that particular circumstance. So this is a very interesting reaction. I would actually like to read to you the purport where Srila Prabhupada talks about seeing these two actions, the action of the internal and the action of the external energy simultaneously. But I fear it would go too long, and also I must say I would have to find it. I know it's in the beginning of the third canto, but at this moment I would have to search a little bit to find it. Yeah, so let us now come to the end of this lesson or lecture. Seeing Krishna behind everything. This is our subject matter, and more specific, seeing Krishna behind the impediments and the tests on our devotional path. We should not become despondent and run away when we see such impediment coming, but we should know this is now the Lord giving me a test. Let me go through this in the way this verse is telling. That is, I should expect the mercy of the Lord. I should accept my own responsibility in this, what happens. And the third is, I should offer Krishna respectful obeisances with heart, words, and body. Thank you very much. Do you have any questions regarding this? Yes, the way to respond to these impediments is threefold, like it is instructed by Lord Brahma in the Tathenu Kampam Shloka. The first thing is, the first way to react to this is earnestly hoping for Krishna's mercy. The second step is accepting responsibility, that is knowing that the sufferings are the reactions to our own actions. And the third is being tolerant and offering obeisances with heart, words, and body. Someone who does like this is qualified to go back home, back to Godhead. Yes, now is question time for you. I hope I don't infect you by my tiredness. Maybe Govinda Mohini, you can be so kind, or Keshko, you are more strong, to open the windows. Then we will get a fresh blast of air. You are the true well-wisher. Thank you. Advaita Chandra, or Advaita Acharya, sorry. What is your question?
I'm hoping you are not pursuing me as your
best. No. This is from, not sleeping for many months. What do you expect? Yes.
Whenever it seems yes. Three things, but it seems like good or bad. It's like in life.
The choice to, yes, I understand what you wish to say. Let me help you. You say, very often when suffering strikes, we just like to be in that numb state and go through it, maybe even by habit, And we don't apply these things, these advices, which bring us to a higher level, because we are in this a little bit in tamagun. An advanced devotee will apply these steps. A devotee who is not so enlightened will just react like an ordinary person. He will find fault with others, and he will just willow and wallow in the mud of material consciousness when suffering strikes. See, bhakti yoga, this is a very important point which will come now, is actually also abhyasa yoga. Abhyasa yoga is a yoga of practice. Those of you who do yoga exercises know that there is something very general. Before you do your yoga exercises, you have to overcome a little the mode of ignorance. Who of you has done yoga exercises? Many of you. Hare Krishna, I thought I'm the only one. Have you also noticed how difficult it is to do them on a regular platform? There is, at one stage, this tama energy which is in the body, which just stops you from doing it. You know you have to do it, your back is terrible, and if you don't do it, you will surely suffer. And you say, tomorrow, let me just eat something. Eating is much more important practice than yoga, and so on. And you don't wait these 10 minutes which you do need for your yoga exercises, and just eat. Because there is this tamasic energy there. And this tamasic energy is certainly also there when we are when we are in Krishna consciousness. We just don't read, although we know I'm supposed to read. We don't give proper time to come to the programs, because although we know we should. It's just it's a yoga exercise which we do, and we are hindered to do it by a certain tamagun which is with us. We know, but we don't do. Do you know this will be that only when you are in sattvagun you can apply knowledge? Do you know this? Sattva means the platform of where you can apply knowledge. It's one of the different things. All the gates of the body are illumined by knowledge. And I want to give you an example. Everyone knows that smoking is dangerous. I heard in America we are not allowed to have a smoking advertisement on the TV because everyone just knows this kills the people. But do you think people can stop smoking? No, they're tamagun. The knowledge doesn't. You can read 50 articles how smoking is dangerous, but when you are in tamagun, you can't apply this knowledge. It is not possible to transfer the knowledge into your practical action. This is a sign of tamagun. So when you are in bhakti yoga, you must know it's not that because you have entered the temple, you are now automatically on your way to heaven. Otherwise, how would be there be so many dark faces in the temple of devotees who are not happy? The reason is they don't apply this yoga. It's a yoga of practice. You must apply it. Must read. You must chant. You must somehow whip yourself out of bed in the morning to come to the Mangala Arati. It's important. It's a part of a practice, a yoga practice, a very ancient yoga practice. If you do so, you will be blissful. It just works. It's a yoga practice. Like like any yoga practice. It's a yoga of building attachment for Krishna. I just heard yesterday a wonderful lecture of Prabhupada where he talks about increasing attachment to Krishna. A yoga practice. So don't worry when you are overcome by this tamagun. You are in good style. This is what happens to a conditioned soul. He doesn't wish to do the practices. It's a principle the same as what happens when you are standing before. You have a list of your six hatha yoga practices and you're like, ah, my dear list. You're totally irrelevant for me this morning. I want to eat and sleep. This is my program today. I hope you don't see my lecture as an endorsement of hatha yoga. I don't think it's just an example. Huh? Those of you who are not physically a little indisposed don't need to do hatha yoga. This is not what I'm saying. Huh? But those who need something, there are also other things. You can also eat less. That is also taking care of many things. What else is there? I mean, you could name probably.
Indranuja Das.
Huh? Indranuja. Wonderful name. Indranuja. Yes.
Maharaj, we have a yoga center in Houston. I have this pranayama when they chant better rounds, more attentive.
This is a question from the yoga center, or this is a question from you?
Mm-hmm.
Can someone chant better rounds when they practice pranayama? Mm. Chanting must be done. What helps chanting is really Trinadapi Sunichena. This is really what helps chanting, and an eagerness for Lord Krishna. This helps the chanting. Pranayama and other things are not, in a way, helping the quality of the chanting. See, chanting is not dependent on the mechanical process, which you can enlarge by, you know, someone who has practiced pranayama, he can certainly exhale for a longer time. But it's really not. Someone might exhale for a longer time and therefore chant more Hare Krishnas in one go. But the idea of chanting is not to chant many or as many Hare Krishnas in one go, in one breath, as possible. Nowhere does this appear as a criterion. Pranayama has its, however, has its position. The position of pranayama is its value. It pacifies the mind, and it certainly makes the body healthy. In our tradition, yoga and Hatha Yoga and Bhakti Yoga are separated. This separation has in Vaishnavism took place thousands of years ago with the Alvas. The Alvas had this tradition to connect yoga. There was yoga and bhakti. Everyone would do Hatha Yoga in that time. But it was so to say removed from the sadhana at a quite early stage, and my suspicion is that it has the reasons which Prabhupada also mentions in his literature. There are strong statements of Srila Prabhupada where he speaks really that yoga, you know, to get for weight lifting, for weight reduction is not, he doesn't speak very highly of it. And I believe it does, it can increase the bodily identification. Those of you who do yoga, when the prana flows, you know, it's a very nice action. When it really goes, you seem to fly with the prana, and it can do. Therefore, it's not in our tradition. But there are statements of Srila Prabhupada where he says yoga is good for health, and I think we should see it in that light. Sometimes people might mistake spiritual experiences for hatha yoga experiences, which are really within the material energy. Mm-hmm. Prabhuji?
Just two quick Bhagavatam references in this regard.
Mm-hmm.
She'll probably explains that this process that looked
like, yeah.
So that was another time, but it was combined.
Yeah.
Also, there's one purport later on in the Bhagavatam, don't come out with you.
Straight, yeah. Would you mind, because I'm very, very interested in these, to find the references and send them by conventional mail to the Bhaktivedanta Ashram in New York? I will be there for some time, for up till next Monday. Not this Monday. Yeah. Radha Vallabha can give you the address, yes. If you can be so kind to send the references, this would be very nice. Because there in New York, we actually now... There's one wonderful devotee who will open a Hatha Yoga studio also in New York and teach Bhakti Yoga also. I think it's a wonderful for devotees to become teachers in yoga and then tell them the whole spectrum of yoga. No? That is Hatha Yoga is there and teach it nicely and for people's benefit to become more healthy and then put... Krishna conscious bhakti yoga exercises there. Good. I think it's a time now. We have 10 minutes past 9. Thank you very much for listening. Please excuse my tiredness. I hope I could bring the points to your awareness. And tomorrow will be our last class in this lecture series. We will talk a little bit about the qualities which a devotee can develop when he applies the instructions of the Tathenukampam Shloka, and then we will end our class. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.